This is a podcast from Minute Media.
Hey, Giant fans, welcome to the Giant Insider podcast. My name is Jerry Foley. I'm the senior editor of the Giant Insider newspaper, and with me, as always, is the beat writer, the heart of Giants Nation. Nobody beats the biz, Chris Bisignano. Well, Chris, football's upon us. We had a preseason game, and look, it's preseason, but they do have a scoreboard, and it's up there, and they keep track. And I'm a little excited that we came away with a win. Lots of positives, some negatives, but overall, Giants football is back, and we'll dive into the victory over the Pats and as well as everything going on in training camp since we last spoke last week, buddy.
Yeah, well, look, Brian Daboll says, you know, if they're going to keep scoring, you look to win the game.
There it is.
And that's what they did last night.
Yep.
So hey, it's always better to win, you know, for the mindset of the team and a new coaching staff and all that, to come out of there with a win. And I think you saw it last night. You know, Dable was happy. You know, guys were happy. You know, it's better than losing, put it that way. Now, we all know it means nothing.
Yeah.
But it's better than losing. And that's what you want. You want to get that winning mentality. Look, the Baltimore Ravens, I saw something last night. The Baltimore Ravens haven't lost a preseason game in about 6 years or something. I could not believe that statistic. Yeah. I was shocked when I saw this night on Twitter. The point being is that, you know, you always want to get that winning mentality. And of course, this means crap for September. We all know that. But they've been a pretty good organization over the years, the Ravens. And they take winning preseason games, you know, a little serious. They like to win all their preseason games. And that's why you saw Daboll. He was pretty excited. You know, you want to win. They went down the field and kicked that winning field goal. And we'll get into what we saw, you know.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things, Big Blue VCR keeps putting out games from the 80s, and you see, like, LT, Carson, Banks, like playing goal line like it's November, right? And, you know, and Parcells, I think, made the joke. I think it was to Tony Dungy when he was an assistant with the Steelers. He said, see that up there? That's a scoreboard. I think it was to Dungy.
Right.
And, you know, it's the mentality. Like, that's kind of how you should treat it. Like, yeah, it's meaningless in that it – you know, it doesn't count towards regular season, but you want to get a win. You want to feel good. And look, man, I this morning, even I woke up, I'm like, hey, we won a game, you know, and it just feels good. It's good for the organization, good for the team, good for the young guys. So.
Yeah. No doubt about it. You saw them in the locker room after the game.
Yep.
You know, everybody was happy. Look, obviously you're not going to, you know, the last drive, you're not going to put your ones back out there. Oh, we really want to win this, you know, but you do want to win. And Davis Webb, you know, let him down the field there to get that. And, you know, one of the key plays was to the rookie, the undrafted free agent, Allen, the tight end. And Sandro sets him up with a couple
Sandro
of runs.
Platzgummer,
you know, everybody loves Sandro, you know. Everybody loves Sandro. And he, yeah. Dable called him into the huddle in the locker room after the game. He gets a couple of nice runs and Gano finishes it off. So,
yeah,
it was nice. Belichick basically went with his twos to start off the game, but we all know his starting offense didn't play. He had a couple of guys on D that are going to be with the ones, but basically he went with his twos on D like Bill likes it, though. He likes the joint scrimmages more than the preseason games. He's got a couple of them coming up.
Yeah.
So I guess you could get into it. The Giants start off with their ones, and they go down the field with Daniel pretty much. So Daniel keeps the drive alive with his legs.
Yep.
And then they should have came out with seven. You know, he does that little, looks like they clear out Wandell, and Golly does a little in, and he drops the ball. Daniel throws it right there, and Golly runs a little bit of a lazy route. And then he drops the ball where he could have scored on, maybe. If not, that would have been, you know, on the one or something like that. Yeah. So that can happen. So they wound up getting, coming away with a field goal there instead of the touchdown. And I know a lot of people are alarmed. Oh, my God, you got to score a touchdown against the two as well. They didn't, but they did move the ball at times. And I thought Daniel had a couple of good, you know, I thought he looked decisive.
Yeah.
I thought he used his legs when he had her. I like the zip on the ball. And I thought he made some good decisions, you know. And like I said, Jerry, you know, he really should have came away with seven on that first drive, but Golly with the drop there, so.
Yeah, and if you saw, I think it was Colin Johnson ran inside the same route inside of Golladay, actually, more towards like the middle of the field. I actually thought he was going to go to Johnson. That's who I had my eyes on. He threw to Golladay.
I think he might have even had Saquon in that one, too.
Yeah, Chris, I mean, look, let's get to what people want to talk about. Colin Johnson last night looked pretty good. He had a fumble, but he looked good. To me, he looked like Kenny Galladay's supposed to look. Am I a buffoon? Am I making too much of this because it's preseason? But look, man, I'll never forget that Atlanta game when Colin Johnson was featured after just being picked up last year. I'm at the game with Giants Carb Crush, and everyone's like, who's 15? I'm like, I don't even know, guys. I have no idea who 15 is. I didn't know Colin Johnson then. And it seemed like they were throwing the ball a lot to him. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's a year later. But am I making too much? Is it just a preseason game?
Yeah, because Colin Johnson's got a resume in his league, you know. So, and, you know, even last year when he had a pretty decent game there, then he kind of faded, you know. Look, it's a guy they're looking at hard. And it's a guy who's had a pretty good training camp. No question about it. And he played, you know, except for that fumble last night, which was looked like it was kind of a, I don't know if the guy kind of punched it out on him, whatever, but it can't happen, especially in plus territory. He had a fumble. Other than that, he did a lot of good things. And he's been doing that in training camp, Jerry. He's had a very good camp.
Now, let me rephrase my question, though. It's not as much about Colin Johnson as it is about Kenny Galladay, Chris. Am I making too much that Colin Johnson, to me, looked better than Kenny Galladay?
No, you're not making too much because he has looked better than Galladay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. You know, now, in game speed, that could be a different stuff. But look, Galladay is Galladay. You know, he's not going to get separation. Yeah. He's going to run some, you know, routes at times where you're like, what are you doing? You know, I think Kenny sometimes just doesn't have the playbook in the back of his head. It doesn't just come easy with him. I just think at times he's fighting at what he's supposed to do and all that. And that's, you know, because he's not a lazy guy, man. You know, and that was like a little bit of a lazy route. But I think at times he's just, you know, at times he kind of like, oh, you know, this, that, a little doubt, you know, what he's supposed to do and all that. But he's a veteran. It can't happen. But Johnson has looked better than him. There's no question about it, you know. But I don't want people thinking like, oh, my God, we got this find with Colin Johnson. Look, Colin was with the Jaguars, you know. And he'll flash at times and then he'll just disappear. And, you know, teams start figuring him out, you know. So, you know, he's not a guy who's had a very good camp. He had a good game last night, but don't get like, you know, I don't want anybody to get like, oh my God, we got this fine that out of nowhere. No, he's played in this league, you know?
Yeah.
But Galladay is a guy that, look, Galladay's going to do certain things in his offense, no question about it, but it's still going to run through Kadarius. Hopefully he gets back, you know, Wandale. And you got a little taste of Saquon last night. I put on Twitter a little while ago that Brian Daboll was criticized at times up in Buffalo for not running the ball, okay? Then he kind of adjusted late last year, and he started, you know, getting the ball Singletary a little bit more and all that. But that's going to be reversed this year, and I see what they're doing in camp and all that, but you're going to see a lot of Saquon, Jerry, early in this year. You're going to see a lot of Saquon running and receiving. You're going to see Matt Breida when he gets back. And I think you saw last night how deep –
oh, my God.
This running back classroom is for the Giants. You know,
pleasant surprise.
You know, look, Gary Brightwell is a guy that, you know, this kid, I love the way he's hitting the holes. I love the way he's seeing the holes.
Runs hard, man.
Runs hard. Strong kid. Yep. Very good special teamer, which is huge. Yep. I mean, that's what's probably going to keep Cam Brown on his team, because Cam Brown's probably the best special team player on the team right now. Keon Clawson's gone. Yeah. He's probably the best special team player. He's, you know, and he's going to stick because of that. Brightwell's, you know, he's next to the ball on kickoffs, which is one of your fastest guys on the team. But he's a guy, he's shown a lot of things in camp, running the ball. He showed it last night. I know it was against the twos and threes. I get it. Yeah. But still, he showed it, you know, and I could tell you this, that after Joe Judge was fired last year, he spoke to somebody I know, and he said, one of the kids, he pointed out a few kids, he goes, hey, you know, I really like some of these guys. Watch them next year on your, you know, with the Giants, with you guys. And Gary Brightwell is one of them, you know. Now, I don't want to hear, I know people, oh, Judge, he's fired. What did he know? I mean, 2 years ago, he knew everything. Now, you know, he's fired. Now he knows nothing to some people. You know what I mean? Which is ridiculous. Okay, so, but Brightwell was a kid that Judge specifically said, hey, watch him in year two for you guys, because he really, you know, we really liked him when I was there, you know? So, and I think you've seen that, you know, Antonio Williams, you know, against the threes and twos and all that, you know, he showed some good things last night, and Matt Breida didn't even play.
Right.
You know, and Saquon, I think Saquon like 4 for 13. But you
but
know
he
what?
Ran hard, but he ran decisive. That was the difference.
That was the thing. You know, 4 for 13, but he was putting his foot in the ground. He was taking it up north-south, you know, north. You know, not really going east-west, not spinning and all that. And I think Saquon's pretty determined to do that. They've been working, you know, they've been pretty much emphasizing this is what we want. Now, there's going to come times he's going to stop to that spin, try to make a big play. That's Saquon, you know, but you don't want to see it a lot. That's the thing, you know. Mm-hmm. And I love the little route he ran. That little out he ran, I think it was inside the 20. Daniel saw it, you know, saw it. You're going to see that a lot, dude. In that red zone, you're going to see Saquon getting the ball, and you're going to see Saquon running routes. I see it. I see it on there all the time. Right? I see what they're doing, and you got a little taste of it last night, you know, and you're going to see them run the ball a lot in the red zone with Saquon and you know, and stuff. So I think you – I don't know, Jerry, you know, now that you saw him last night, did you get a little taste of what I've been talking about the last 3 weeks in camp, you know, as far as what they're looking to do and all that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And a lot of things that you've been saying kind of came to fruition last night. And we'll get into all of them. You know, the thinness on the O-line, the secondary concerns. We'll get into all that. But the depth at running back, and like you said, Breida didn't even play. And the one thing I don't want to get into this year, I'm not going to do it, is a final 53 because it's just stupid now. There's going to be so many pickups at the end that it's impossible to predict, right? You can do like a final 40 and say, I think these 40 guys are safe. After that, it's a frigging crapshoot. But it's just interesting to see, Chris, which running back is going to be the odd man out, because you brought over a guy from Buffalo. You figure he might have the inside track. You brought Breida in. Brightwell's a pick from last year. And the kid from Florida State, he looked good, but he's still the, you know, to me, he's the odd man out. But
yes.
And it's a shame because he might be, you know, probably practice squad material. But yeah, absolutely, Chris. And I liked what I saw last night. If you're a novice and never watched the Giants before and didn't have a 10-year history on this team, I was going to say I logged in. I turned the game on. And I
logged
see,
in. You had your password to get
talk
in?
About so like tethered to our phones and computers all the time. I turned the game on and I see a quarterback drop back, look like he had some time to throw, and he had weapons to throw to. And I love that route from Saquon, Chris. It was it was something I hadn't seen in the past few years. It's just a simple play, but it's not something you saw from this offense over the last 4 to 5 years where our guy had time to throw and he found some weapons. So, but yeah, I definitely saw what you've been talking about, especially in the run game. And it was exciting. Like I said, Saquon didn't explode or anything, but he was just so decisive. It was like, this is the running back we need. This is it, Saquon. Keep doing what you're doing. The big ones will come.
Yeah. And you got to remember, you know, last night's offense was totally and completely vanilla. There was no motion.
Right.
You know, there was no game planning, you know.
Right. And I didn't want to see it.
Well, no, they're not going to show that. Yeah, you know, because believe me, everybody, you know, when the season starts, you're going to see a lot of motion, you know, in that red area too. You know, there's a lot of motion in this offense, but you're not going to really show in preseason. You just go out there and you try to do some things.
Right.
And I also thought, Jerry, that Galladay drop, I'm pretty sure it was the same play. You know, talking about Saquon did that little out route on a nice little route that when Daniel hit him. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure, I got to look at it again, but I'm pretty sure Saquon did a little choice route on that ball from Galladay, and he looked like he was open over the middle. Daniel could have had him too.
Yeah.
He saw, you know, he went to the left. The play was a clear out, get Galladay, you know, on that little in, and Galladay just dropped it. But it looked like he actually had Saquon on a little choice over the middle too. And that's, dude, you know, that's what you're going to see. I mean, that's what I've seen this camp. You know, they're going to feature Saquon in that red zone, bro.
Yeah.
You know, and you got a little taste of, you know, last night. And, you know, you see them, they don't like to run the ball. They want to run the ball, dude. They want to run. They feel they have a pretty good run-blocking offensive line. Now, the bad part, you know, Shane Lemieux, you know, we don't know. Dable's coming on with us later. We don't know. I think everybody saw his leg, you know, his foot was in a walking boot, you know. Yeah. Supposedly it's a toe. So is it a dislocated toe? Did he break it? You know, I don't know. We'll have to find out. We don't know how long he's going to be out, but that's a big hit because he's been, you know, in that left guard spot, and he's played, had a nice camp. His pass pro technique, by the way, Bobby Johnson, I mean, you see the difference too with Bobby Johnson. These guys, their technique wise, looks like it's drastically improved, especially with Shane Lemieux.
I'm nodding right now.
Especially with Shane Lemieux, his pass pro technique definitely has improved in his training camp. And even last night, I was watching it before, you know, he had to leave. So this is going to, you know, Jerry, this is something you hope it isn't a 4 to 6 week thing because, yeah, you know, you don't want to lose. This offensive line is in no position to lose people, dude. I mean, Ezekiel played last night. He was questionable going out. They already, you know, they lost Jamil Douglas last night. They've already taken hits with this offensive line, man. You know, the kid, McKethan, who they were working in a draft pick, who they were cross-training in camp.
Yeah.
You know, he's gone for the year.
Yeah.
So it's look, Ben Brennison helped himself last night to a guy who I did not like last year.
Yeah, right.
And I really was basically given very slight chance to make it this year heading into camp. But he helped himself. He's playing center. You know, he's being versatile, and that's what's going to keep him on this roster. And he actually played pretty decent last night. You know,
yeah, he did.
The offensive line is just thin, Jerry. I mean, the depth wise, you know, Joe Shane is going to have to bring in a couple of bodies. You know, and he brought in Will Holden. Eric Smith, I mean, God, dude, forget it. I mean, Will Holden, he was with the threes last night. But, you know, you're going to have to get some depth because they're in trouble right now depth-wise. And now you lose a guy, you know.
Yeah.
And now you got to hope Lemieux's back for the Tennessee game. We'll know a little bit more later. What if another guy goes down, you know. But
yeah, right.
Getting back to the, you know, it's a pretty good run-blocking offensive line. Mark Lewinsky showed some things last night in the run game. And this is what he's brought over here for. He's a good run-blocking guard, bro. He could get out, you know. He could get on that backside. He could get the defenders on the backside, which is big as a guard. And, yeah, obviously, Evan Neal. You know, Evan got kind of twisted up last night, gave up a sack and all that. But Evan Neal, he also showed his athleticism. That little wide receiver screen to Slayton. You see who the hell was out in front of him. Yeah. Was that mountain of a kid, Evan Neal, looking for somebody to block downfield, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, you have to take advantage of what your players do well. And you could see that right off the bat. That's what Dable's doing, you know, like, okay, well, this kid is athletic, so guess what? We're going to do some bubble screens to get him the hell out, yeah, you know? And that's what you saw right away. You're not going to see a lot in these preseason games, folks, but you're going to see it against Tennessee. And, you know, Andrew Thomas is a pretty good run-blocking tackle over there. We all know what Lemieux could do as a run-blocking guard. Can't lose him, Jerry, you know. This is going to be if this kid is out for a while, this guy's out for a while, this is going to be a big hit, bro. You got to hope he's back for the Tennessee game because...
Yeah, you hope it's not like a Jeff Schwartz type of injury where it just, you know, sidelined him for forever and he didn't play last year. And there was one thing you said, dude, with Johnson being there. Bobby Johnson, it just seemed like a more competent unit. They just—it's almost like, oh wow. I talked to a buddy this morning, like, oh wow, do we have better coaching now? Well, yeah, like, yes, it's more talent. Like you brought in Neal and you brought in Azudu, and it was nice to see him get in there last night. And I think, you know, if I'm not mistaken, Chris, Lemieux was the front runner, but we wouldn't have been surprised based on what you said that if by October, November, Azudu was starting at left guard. Yeah. This is a little
Jerry. Jerry, you know what? I have to be honest with you. Like, I said that. I said, you know, actually, somebody in the organization actually told me that, too. They were like, yeah, look for this kid, you know, by the end of September. Don't be surprised if this kid's in there.
Yeah.
But I tell you what, Jerry. I was saying the same thing. But Lemieux has looked so good, dude. I'm not quite sure that would have happened. I think Lemieux would have held his position.
Yeah.
And he still will. We'll have to see with his injury.
Right.
But the way Lemieux is improving, especially in the pass pro, you guess what? I'm taking that back because, you know, watching him in camp, watching him before he went down last night, I think Shane would have been entrenched in that spot. I think Joshua would not have taken that spot from him. I think Lemieux would have been fine. But right now, you're going to have to put Ezekiel in there, and we're going to have to see what's up with Lemieux, you know?
Yeah.
Bobby Johnson, if anybody doesn't know, you know, Dable brought him over from Buffalo. And Bobby Johnson got a lot out of just serviceable guards up in Buffalo, you know. He didn't have a bunch of all pros up there. And they were very serviceable line under Bobby Johnson. And I think everybody got a little – you saw that last night, right? You saw even the third string in secondary, giving the quarterbacks a little time, run blocking.
Competent. They looked competent.
Right? You know, it's their third string. It's the Patriots, all that. They wound up at 177 yards on the ground. Did a lot of good things. So had a couple of holds. You know, Max Garcia looks like he's just like really slow now. the veteran they brought over. He's with the threes. You know, I was expecting him to be a depth guy this year. I'm not quite sure he's even making this roster, dude. You know, so he looks like he's just really slow. Now I was watching him in camp, watching him last night, and like, oh God. But some of these other guys, they look competent, Jerry, at times.
Yeah.
You know? Look, if Sheen doesn't find anybody, which I'm sure, he tried, right? He brings in Holden. Good luck with that. Brings in Eric Smith. I could probably beat Eric Smith. Okay. But he's going to have to try Sheen. He's going to bring in more guys. Next week, the cuts go down to 85. And there'll probably be a few guys on the wire that Sheen might be interested in, or some guys this week. Look, the Jets just brought in Dwayne Brown, who nobody signed. He was off the, they just brought him in with their injury.
2 years, $22 million.
Yeah. I mean,
for somebody who was not signed, wow.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm sure Sheen's going to be, he's looking hard at all these guys who isn't signed. I'm sure there's a few guys out there who've played in this league a while. Not quite sure right now off the top of my head, that Sheen's going to bring in because they're in trouble on the offensive line depth-wise, And a lot's going to, depend on what the hell's going on in the mute now, too. So.
Yeah, Chris, I mean, the slogan for the Giants O-line can be like 2022. At least we're competent. But that's what it felt like last night. It felt like, okay, these are professionally coached linemen now. Because even before, our thirds against the thirds did well. That I don't remember the last time I saw that in preseason. Our thirds looked like they didn't belong in the pros the past few years. Our thirds were terrible. So, you could see the effect the coaching staff is having on these guys. And look, guys, it's one game, but, this is all I have to go off. So I'm getting a little excited about a lot of things I saw last night. But, I don't know if you want to go to the receiver position now. I know we talked about Johnson and Galladay, but there were other guys, who were in the game who maybe helped themselves. Richie James definitely helped himself, I thought.
Yeah, well, he's had a strong camp. Yeah. Richie James is going nowhere,
Yeah.
And look, Slayton, he's been with the threes. At FanFest, he was with the threes.
Yeah.
And you kind of say to yourself, oh, boy, this guy's fighting for a roster spot here. And he was with the ones last night filling in. He was in there. He jumped in there for Kadarius Toney, who's, out with the knee issue. And then he only played like two series and he was done. So it wasn't like they wanted to look at him. You know what I mean? It wasn't like, all right, we got to get him a lot of reps because we're not. So I thought that was a good sign for Slayton.
Doesn't he seem like the kind of guy that you need to get that play to him early so he gets confidence going? Am I wrong? Like a bubble screen?
Look,
where he can get going and say,
Yeah, I agree. I think that's something you have to do with Darius. Yeah, I agree. To me, look, I've been putting it on Twitter. I know a lot of people in Giants Nation has totally and completely given up on Darius Slayton. And I get it. Drops last year, the whole deal. I can't give up on him yet, Jerry.
Yeah.
Because he could still get behind the D, all right? Well, I like to say top off a D. People love that on Twitter when I say that top off.
Funny.
They think it's a sexual thing.
So funny.
All right? So, and you see, to me, here's the main issue with Slayton.
Yeah.
His head. It's confidence.
Sure.
I think when he drops a ball, it really, instead of, all right, let me go on to the next one. Forget about it. I think it slings with him.
Yeah.
And I wasn't quite sure what the coach staff was thinking. And you see him last night, gets a couple series, he's out of there. I thought that was a good sign for him. So if anybody's thinking Darius might not make it, and when I was at FanFest and he was with the threes, and he's been with the threes a lot in camp or twos, I'm saying to myself, oh boy, oof. Well, Richie James is coming on, Is he fighting for a spot? Well, after last night and what they were doing with him, I would have to say probably not, Jerry, not probably not.
Yeah.
But Richie James is a guy who's had an unbelievable camp. Touchdown last night, he's not going nowhere right now, C.J. Board is a guy they were looking at. I could see they're looking at him special teams-wise, right? They had him returning kicks.
Mm.
So they're going to give him. They're going to give Colin Johnson was featured last night. Some guys, battling for roster spots, man. Because we all know, Kadarius Toney, it's Wandell, Galladay, it looks like Slayton. And then guys are going to battle for a few roster spots, man. I'm sure Dable's going to keep six. Probably not seven, maybe seven, but we don't know what he's going to do roster-wise. That's the first time, that he's here with the Giants and what he's going, what he plans on doing, how many running backs are going to keep, tight ends and all that,
And
it'd be interesting.
You mentioned Toney. I try not to sound like, like the old man in the top of the stadium who's been watching the Giants since the Polo Grounds. But Yeah, for a guy who hasn't proven that he can stay on the field, like last night was just, for me, like, oh, here we go. Again, he's not playing. Like,
it's a concern.
Is it, right? Okay, I'm absolutely not wrong to be concerned, right, Chris?
Oh, I mean, look, he was injured on and off last year. He's, you know, it's concerning because we saw it the other day at practice. You know, he leaves practice early. Trainers are over there. Doesn't make the trip to New England.
Right.
He's out. And now, you know, they're looking to try to get him in there for Cincinnati next week to get him. We'll see how it goes this week in practice. But that knee's an issue, right? I mean, he's had injury problems. He's had a little surgery. And it's definitely an issue. It's definitely a concern. There's no question about it.
Because when you put it.
It
out there last night, people were like, here comes the overreaction. I'm like, no, it's not an overreaction to be concerned about this kid who is dynamic when he's out there, but he can't stay healthy. It's just like, here we go again. I hope he plays next week. But, you know, it's a little frustrating, man, because he has so much talent. So much talent.
Oh, absolutely. But you have to be on the field to show your talent, right?
Best ability is availability.
So we'll see. You know, Dable's going to try to get him ready for Cincinnati and all that. So we'll have to see. But it's definitely a concern because, you know, the kid's got some health issues going. And he just, you know, you got to hope he stays on the field this year.
Yeah.
Because, you know, a lot of stuff is going to be designed for him, man, and what they want to do.
I got a really dumb question for you because I couldn't answer it last night. Was Wandale even on the field?
Yeah. He was with the ones. Yeah. Yeah, okay. I don't think he wasn't targeted. He wasn't targeted, but he was on the field. Yeah, okay. He was on the field. Right. It was Wandell, Darius Slayton, and Kenny Golladay. They started off with the ones. You know, okay. it just so, you know, he wasn't targeted last night. But they went with Andrew Thomas, I think, won one series, and they got him out of there.
Yeah, right.
By Lemieux. That's then, fine. You know, Lemieux had the toe thing going on.
Yeah.
And then he got Devery Hamilton, a guy they're looking at pretty good at left tackle. Maybe has some depth, you know, behind. So, guy's got a lot of reps in, and Dable's going to assess, you know, what he saw last night, you know. And Evan Neal got a couple of series in, and did some good things, as you saw last night. Got twisted up a little bit, gave up a sack. But what'd you think about Daniel, bro? I mean, you know,
I liked him.
I know all eyes are on Daniel every snap, so what'd you think about Daniel?
I thought he looked decisive. It was only six passes, but it should have been four completed. I thought he was decisive. I liked that he took off. I like that he took off and got down, kind of. I mean, he got tackled, but he didn't fight for more yards. He just go down, Daniel. You're a great athlete, and use your legs, but go down. Like, I thought he looked decisive. He didn't, you know, what I would have expected from a first game. It's fine. You?
Yeah. I mean, look, you know, he finished 6-for-10. He should have been 7-for-10, right?
I'm talking about the first drive. I'm sorry.
Should have been, what was that?
I was talking about the first drive. He should have been
4-for-6. No. I'm just talking about overall. You know, he finished 6-for-10. Should have been 7. Should have been 70%.
Right.
I like the decisiveness. I like when he had to use his legs.
Yep.
And this is just the vanilla offense, Jerry. You know.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, so.
I like our backup.
Yeah. You know, look, it's better than us sitting here, Jerry, on this Friday morning saying, "Oh my God, Daniel threw a pick."
Right.
Oh, he overthrew that guy. Oh, he didn't look decisive. He's holding on to the ball too long. Or better yet, Jerry, right? Better yet. Yeah, he took off and fumbled, right?
Yep.
I mean, so it's a positive, dude. That's what we're talking about. You know, Daniel starts off on a positive note. And that's what we're looking at, right? Progress.
Yeah.
He has to take that next step, and he has to be happy. Dable has to be happy with what he saw, and I'm sure Daniel's happy with some of the things he did. So, and Tyrod Taylor, look, you know, he's Tyrod Taylor. You know, he can run an offense. He can throw a ball, get the hell out of the pocket.
Capable backup.
What? A very capable backup.
I mean, it's what you want.
Yeah. So he made some nice throws last night.
Love the touchdown throw. Love the touchdown throw.
Yeah. I mean, you know, he gets out of that pocket. He's smooth, man, throwing the ball on a run. We all know what Tyrod could do. And, you know, if Daniel goes down, you have a very capable backup, you know. So. That was Davis Webb. Is Davis Webb? You know, he should have reconsidered and maybe went to the coaching ranks instead of coming back another year. But he decided to come back another year, and you know, Davis Webb is Davis Webb. You know, he's not even, you know, a factor in this conversation with the Giants. So,
but even that to me, Chris, like usually when our third string is in, it's an unwatchable game sometimes. Like, we're giant idiot fans. Like, I'll watch everything the Giants do. But even last night, I was like, he didn't look terrible, but no, I know what you're saying. And compared to years past, it was like, this was like, oh, wow, okay. Our third string guy can complete passes. That's good. All right, cool. So,
yeah. So look on the look.
You know what, dude? Chris, before we get to defense,
yeah,
guys, we're gonna take a break.
Gotta pay the bills.
Right back after this. Hang on 1 second. And we're back. Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, yeah. Just one guy that definitely hurt himself receiver wise was Keelan Doss, the former Raider. You know, two drops, bad drops. Yeah. So he kind of dropped himself probably out of his roster coming up in the next few weeks.
Yeah.
He was a long shot anyway. And I guess we go to the defense, Jerry. Aaron Robinson obviously struggled that one series. They were back shoulder throwing him all night.
Yeah.
Was
that on purpose or their arm?
Yeah, no, I think Bill did that. Okay. I think Bill was doing that on purpose. Yeah, I think Judge, Patricia, and you know, Wink at times was aggressive. He was blitzing.
Yeah.
And he was playing man basically all night. He was playing a lot of man.
Yeah.
And when you play man and you're blitzing, you know, five guys, six guys, well, guess what? You know, you're gonna see those back shoulder throws and you better defend them, because if you don't, they're going to keep coming at you with it. And you saw it last night. You got a little taste of it last night.
Yeah.
From New England. It's like, okay, well, Robinson kind of got beat in the first one. I think might have got his hand in there.
Mm.
Better quarterback. You know, that's a completion.
Completion, yeah.
You know, and then they went right back at it again and beat him.
Yes.
And then he gets beat in the end zone for a touchdown.
By the way, the taunting penalty was a complete disgrace.
Yeah, well, they missed a bunch of calls. They missed some flagrant face mask, too. I'm like, what the?
Ridiculous.
I thought that was a stupid call.
That taunting penalty was like, really?
Yeah,
that's
I know.
Taunting?
I mean, I don't think that's taunting, but.
Don't hold it. If you have problems with Aaron Robinson, guys, have every other issue with him. That was stupid. That was not anyway.
Yeah. You know, he got beat in the end zone by the rookie Thompson. You know, after he held him, after he grabbed him, he still got beat on a little improv move there by Thompson. So look, I put on Twitter a little while ago, Jerry, that Cordell Flott, their draft pick.
Oh yeah,
looked pretty decent when he was
in
there.
Did.
And then he left with a groin injury.
Yeah.
So hopefully there's nothing serious with him that is going to keep him out a couple of weeks. Although these groin injuries usually do, that you want to make sure they're healed.
Yeah, Chris, I thought he helped himself tremendously last night. I know you're watching him in practice all the time, but first time seeing him, I'm like, this kid's pretty good.
Yeah, yeah. And I really believe, Jerry, he might have gotten a lot of reps with the ones this week in practice if he was healthy.
Yeah.
Now that's out of the equation. Now I'm not giving up on Aaron Robinson by any means.
No, right. But it's an open competition.
I'm just saying,
an open competition.
Right. I'm just saying, like after the way Aaron struggled, and then you saw Flott doing some good things. I mean, it would be incompetent of a coaching staff of Jerome, you know, of Jerome Henderson, and of course Wink and.
Oh,
Gable.
I thought you were saying Jerome, meaning to me. Sorry, I thought you were addressing me.
No, sorry, Jerry. No, I don't mean you on that one.
Like I was back in Catholic school.
Right. So, I'm going to spank your hand with a rule in about 2 minutes. You know?
Right.
You know, I think that he would have got some reps with the ones, and all right, let's get him in there and take a look at him too now, you know, with the ones, you know. So that I know if I'm the head coach, I would be, you know, I'd be telling Wink, all right, I want him with the ones.
Right.
You know, and all that, because it's basically been Aaron Robinson's job since the first day of camp, you know,
Someone that you've been talking about who had a nice game last night, looked like a playmaker to me. That's going to get more and more time, baby. Darian Beavers. Was very psyched to watch that kid play.
Yeah, what'd you think of him?
Oh, he's all over the field. He had great instinct. You know what? You know what else I noticed, Chris? You know, we seem to be better tacklers. And I don't know why, but it just seems like we were sure tacklers on this team. But Beavers, you know, he blew up the play in the backfield. But I love the other play even more. When he's decisive, you know, it was the play in the flat where I think it was the running back dropped the ball and he still hit him, still tackled him. And I'm like, that's what I want. That's what you want to see, man.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought he helped himself a lot last
night.
You know, what I really liked about that play by you talk about the one running back dropped it, right? And
he
was still
on the left hand side. Yeah.
He still planted him. Right.
Yes.
What I liked about that, I love the angle that he took.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, you got to take the right angles. This isn't college anymore where you could maybe take a little bit of an off, not the best angle, and still make a play. In this league, the guy goes right by you, bro. You know?
Right.
And so I like that Beavers, A, even though he dropped it, still kind of threw, you know, still kind of hit, threw the hit out there.
Yep.
And B, I love the angle that he took. And C, you see his little bit of his east-west speed, you know?
Yes. Yeah.
And he's a downhill kid. He's a blitz. He blitzed a lot in Cincinnati. You know, he got some sacks last year. He got a lot. I think he had 11 tackles for loss in college last year. He gets in that back. I think he showed it last night. I think he might have had one last night.
No, he's kind of
a,
yeah.
He's kind of a downhill kid. Big question mark on him is going to be his coverage skills. All
right.
But I tell you what, I've been telling you this, that the coaching staff really likes him, you know. And he's out there last night for Blake. You know, it was him and Crowder, because obviously Blake, you know, is going to be worked back slowly, you know, as far as live reps, you know, before the first game. But I thought he helped himself, Jerry. I really believe that him and Tay, I don't think they're sold on Tay Crowder. That he's written in stone,
they
like one.
They shouldn't be
like what, like he's on, you know, one of the Ten Commandments stone or tablets, you know, where I, you know, he shall be the inside linebacker. No, I don't think that's happening here. Okay,
I think, real quick, before I forget, I don't think Wink Martindale's saying we're set with McKinney and Tay Crowder. We're good there. I don't think that's the case. Yeah.
No, so. No. Look, Tay Crowder does good things. Don't get me wrong.
Sure.
But they're looking to upgrade that, and they're going to look at Beavers. I'm not saying Beavers is going to be that guy.
Right.
It's probably still will be Tay, you know. But
he's going to get a lot of playing time, though.
As you see, he's going to get the reps. He's been getting reps with ones in training camp.
Yeah.
And I kind of like the way he compliments Blake, where, he, you know, he's that downhill blitzer. Blake's that good one stopping linebacker.
Yep.
Where Tay Crowder, you know, he's a guy made a – he led the team in tackles last year, but makes a lot of tackles kind of in that second level.
Yes.
And what really concerns me about Tay Crowder, and I've seen it numerous times the last few years, man, is that he will take a wrong read on a gap run.
Yeah.
He will take the wrong gap read. And that back, instead of getting 3 yards, will get 6 yards because Tay took – and he'll do it inside the red area. You know, and especially in that lower red inside the 10, where he'll take a wrong gap read or get take himself out of a play, Jerry, where you got to fill that gap.
Yeah.
Because if you don't fill that gap, that back gets those extra 2 yards, and it's not on the 38-yard line. That's the goal line now.
Yeah.
Banks, you get what I'm saying?
Yeah, Banks pointed it out on Twitter the other night.
You like get terrible. What I'm saying?
Yeah, totally.
And Carl pointed it out in FanFest, and he was 100%. And look, we've seen this numerous times with Tay Crowder.
Yeah.
Now, Tay's a better cover guy, you know, than Beavers. He could cover you a little bit, Tay. Not the best cover guy, but he could cover you a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, and that's going to be a concern with Beavers. But I think the competition is on, dude.
Yeah.
Be interesting to see how this plays out. I think Beavers did nothing to hurt himself last night.
Right.
A lot of people had him scouted even higher than where he went in the draft, Jerry. A lot of people had him
fourth round grade.
Yep. Maybe a late 3, 4, 5. I think he went 6th, right? If I remember right, Beavers.
He did 6th.
So look, that's a positive for Darren. You know, and he's a good blitzing backer, dude. He can shoot that A and B gap, Beavers. You know, he did it in Cincinnati. I remember watching him, Jerry, when they drafted him, and I looked at some, you know, film of him because I didn't see any Cincinnati game. I think I saw one Cincinnati game last year when they beat the shit out of us in South Bend.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I looked at some more Beavers, and he, you know, I love the way he shoots the B. He could blitz the A gaps and all that. So I think, you know, the competition might be on there. I think I know Wink really likes him, but you know, you gotta polish up some stuff. You gotta tighten up some stuff in this league. So
I thought McFadden helped himself too.
Yeah, for against the thirds and stuff like that. I thought McFadden did some good things. No question about it. Quincy Roche, who's had a very quiet camp, was pretty good at the point of attack. I thought last night. He's up at that line. Ellison Smith was kind of quiet. You know, it was kind
should have had a safety, though.
It could have had a safety, right?
That was
the tank commander was call. The tank commander was fuming. He wanted that safety, you know?
Should have been.
Referees are, oh, my God. Well, the referees were the referees. So, you know, you would think the baseball umpire, Angel Hernandez, all of a sudden is the referee in the NFL that was going last night. So,
it's your boy.
Look, Thibodeau, he drew his first false start, right?
As good as a sack, baby.
Mm-hmm. He drew his first false start.
Now, Chris, before I forget, is he always lining up on the left side, or is he all over the place?
No, he should be both sides. Yeah,
okay.
He should be both sides. Yeah,
all right, cool.
It was just like a vanilla type D2 last night, Jerry. Wink got a little aggressive at times, sent some blitzes, but it was just basically like that vanilla package. Okay, sure. You know, Thibodeau, you had one, you know, yeah, blah, 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 that. Okay, you're going to see that. You're going to see that switch when the bell rings in September, you know?
Okay.
But you look, he was happy with some things at the point of attack. You know, he's realized he's got to do this and that. Look, Jerry, you know, the rookies in this league, man, and they said it last night, they couldn't believe how fast it was playing at this level. And this is nothing compared to September 11th, okay, when they played the Titans. The speed of the game is going to increase even more. So, you know, this is why I was happy, Jerry, when Brian Daboll told us last week that he's going to play a series and then maybe two, depending on how they look, depending on how things go. See, I know guys like Sean McVay, they want nothing to do with their ones. Even Belichick, really, right? Look at last night. But I love it, Jerry, because I want the rookies like Neil, Thibodeau, you know, guys like that to get a little taste of the game speed. I don't want that game speed the first time they get a taste of it being the first game of the year where they feel, you know, they're in a traffic jam and the other opposing team's on a freeway doing 100. You know what I mean?
Yeah, sure.
It's huge, bro. It's huge. So I'm glad Daboll played the ones.
We've gone the other way for a few years now and it hasn't worked, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it almost seems like we've put bubble wrap around some of our starters and said, you're not even going to see the field. But I agree with you, Chris. Like, we've tried it the other way. It hasn't worked. Let's get them in there a little bit. You don't have to play them the whole game, but just give them a series or two. Get them going.
Yeah, and I'm sure, you know, against Cincinnati, they're going to play even more, you know, next Sunday. I love it, Jerry. No, look, I'm not here to say the other side is wrong. I'm sure to hell not to say a guy like Sean McVay is wrong, considering his pedigree. I just like it personally. I'm glad. Let him get in there. I know the injury factors, you know, injury risk is always a fact. I get it, but it's football. Get the reps in there. This team needs it, brother. We're not coming off a 12-5 season, Jerry, right?
Right.
We're not. This team needs it. It's a new system. Kafka has to, you know, this is all new to Kafka too, bro.
Yeah.
He never called plays.
Right. Up in the booth he was. That was interesting.
You know, so that went smooth. Daboll talked about how smooth that went. He liked the substitutions with the coaching staff. He even tried his first challenge flag, which he lost. But all things he's getting used to. Daboll, he's a first-time head coach. This is all stuff he's getting used to.
Yeah, no, we're not suggesting putting your number one cornerback out on kick returns in preseason either, guys. We just wanted to get, you know, a little nod to Jason Sehorn there. We just wanted to get some time and get him out there.
I forgot. I didn't know where you were going with that. Jason.
I got into convulsions when I think about that.
You really don't want a Dory Jackson returning kickoffs or punts at this stage, right?
God, it was such a nightmare. I was at a bar when that happened. I called my dad. I said, "How is it?" He goes, "ACL out for the year." Oh my God, the amount of alcohol I consumed afterwards. I was beside myself. Beside myself. Anyway.
A couple of the young kids, Jerry. I thought Trenton Thompson, the safety, young drafted free agent. I thought he helped himself last night. He had a sack. I thought he was pretty aggressive on that back end. I liked what he did. Youssef Corker.
That's your boy.
Yeah. Matter of fact, I talked to him about that. His stepdad reaching out to us. I actually spoke to Youssef about that the other day.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Anyway, he's a strong kid, big kid, pretty solid kid. People who haven't been to camp at all, haven't seen this young man. I think he got a little taste. The kids had a nice camp, but he did some good things last night too, bro. He'll come up and put a hat on you, Corker.
Right.
You know,
right.
He's gonna be in that safety spot, bro. The thin over there. So, and I thought, look, Andrew Adams, I thought was a great pickup by Joe Shane, that veteran. You know, right. Super Bowl champion. The guy was here. It was, you know, years ago. Me and Jerry both said when he got released, like, what the hell are you doing releasing him? You know, he's had a nice little career. Played for the Bucs. Started games for the Bucs and all that. So I thought that was a nice pickup by Shane. I think he'll help them out veteran-wise in that back end, too.
Yeah. There were admittedly some guys at corner last night. I almost felt like it was 2 years ago, Chris, when we were picking up guys off the street. Like, I'm like, I don't even know who these guys are. We knew going in that the O-line was going to be thin. And that the cornerback position was thin. I have to say, right now, I feel better about the O-line because I have more confidence in who the starters are. The secondary, I just... Aaron Robinson. It's a concern. And you see it last night. You hope he does well. But, wow, that is a concern. And, you know, like you said, Flott would have got some time this week if he didn't have the groin issue. But, man, there's a reason why Sauce Gardner was probably listed at the top of their draft board, too. I mean,
absolutely.
You know what I mean? Like, you love Thibodeau, you love Neal, but Sauce Gardner was probably their guy. And then you're hearing the camp he's having with the Jets. It's like, there's a reason for this. But it is what it is. We got to go with Robinson. Or, you know, Flott, obviously. I thought, Darnay Holmes, Chris, I'm just going to ask you again. I think I asked you this before. Is he an option on the outside, or is he strictly a slot guy?
He's strictly that nickel slot, you know. I don't think they really trust him on that outside, Jerry. We would have saw that. He's not really a perimeter, you know, coverage guy. So you'll see him in that nickel slot. And look, Flott's the kid, bro.
Yeah.
Flott's the kid they've been working on the outside.
Yeah.
The last few weeks of camp, you saw it last night, too. He was on the outside because, you know, Gilbert, Allen, you know, these guys, oof, you know, they need a lot. They need some work, you know. So, it's like I said, this is going to be, it sucks. Flott now is going to be set back a little bit, hopefully not too long. So,
yeah. And, you know, it would have been cool to see Dane Belton last night. It's a shame he got hurt as well. This draft class, yeah, look, it's early, but there's a lot to be excited about, man. You know, we all questioned those second round picks in the third, but, you know, maybe Joe Shane knows what he's doing, right? You know, but he was, it was funny. He was interviewed last night. He almost seemed like he's so young, right? Like, he just seemed like an intern being interviewed by Banks and Papa last night. Like, it's refreshing. You know, there's, like I said, there's a lot to be excited about right now. So,
Jerry, another position that's pretty thin too is tight end, you know?
Yeah, it is very.
Look,
yeah.
It's Bellinger and Chris Mayock right now.
Yeah.
Ricky Seal Jones is missing in action. I don't know. He's been out for 2 weeks. I don't expect to see him. I don't know what the hell's, you know. So, and Austin Allen made a little play, but he's been down in the depth chart too. They're pretty thin there, man. You know,
the kid you liked, Miller's out. So.
And Andre Miller broke his forearm, you know, and he's out.
Yeah.
And he was a kid that was showing some things, you know. So right now, you're looking at Chris Mayock, you're looking at the kid Bellinger, you know.
Yeah.
I believe Bellinger got called for a hole last night. Yeah, he's got to clean up some tech. You know, he's got to clean up some technique stuff. But pretty thin at tight end, man. You know, pretty thin at tight end.
Yeah, those are the concerns, right? Tight end, the O line, at least the depth on the O line, and the secondary. But it's
going
to be interesting to see who they grab off the waiver wire later on.
They're going to be grabbing some guys, Jerry. But you have to remember they're on the waiver wire for a reason.
Yeah, that's true.
They're not signed. For a reason. Even Dwayne Brown with the Jets, you know, he was not signed because he's coming off his worst year. He looked kind of slow last year, but you know, the Jets are going to bring him over.
That's why I was shocked at how much he got.
I guess it's a front loaded type deal. I don't know.
My
but
Lord.
That's the Jets. You know, the Jets have had, you know, that's their issue there because the Becton kid's out for the year. So, hey, you're going to see bodies coming in and out here, Jerry.
Yeah,
and we'll see if they can play and give you something, man.
Yeah,
but just keep in mind, everybody. You know, when you sign a guy. Who maybe he's been in the league 8 years. Oh my God, I can't believe we got it. There's a reason why nobody either he was released or he hasn't been signed yet.
Yeah, right.
But sometimes you do strike gold, Jerry. Don't get me wrong. Sometimes you'll get a guy and he'll give you some quality snaps during the season. That's what you have to hope for right now.
Yeah. Special teams.
I thought
Corbin was rough at first.
Wasn't happy with that.
But I thought Corbin looked good returning kicks.
Yeah, but the coverage, has to get tightened up, man.
Not good.
Yeah. Dable talked about that. He was not happy. I thought they started a little bit better in the second half.
Yeah, they did.
But coverage-wise, it was one good, I think it was the first punt in the game.
I don't want to tell you who did bad on that one, Chris.
Jamie Gillen, I thought he nice punt outside the numbers.
Yeah.
And who was it, Jerry? Who misplayed?
It looked like Julian Love to me just whiffed.
He might have whiffed on the tackle? Yeah, right. I think you're right. And somebody else, I have to look at it again. Somebody else overran it, took a bad angle.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you have a nice punt like that outside of the numbers, dude, you can't have a 20-something yard punt return on that.
And straight up the sideline. That was bad.
Oh, man, that just can't happen. So Thomas McGee, he's going to have to tighten that up because they didn't get off to a good start. That's the thing. Dable mentioned it. You know, they got to improve in that area. You know, but there's always guys going in and out, guys they're looking at, and all that stuff. But like you said, Deshaun Corbin, I thought he had a couple of decent kickoff returns.
Yeah.
C.J. Board was all right. They're looking at C.J. Board. Obviously, they're going to give him a hard look. And Corbin is a guy, you know, to me, Jerry, the only way he wins a job on his team is as a kickoff returner.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah, I agree.
And they're going to look at him and see what's up there, so...
Yeah.
And Gano was automatic, like he's been the last few years, right?
let me say this. This was the idiot in me at the end of that game. I thought, he misses this field goal. He's got to get number five back. It's the only thing I can think of. Thibodeau's giving it up.
Jerry, I just want to talk about one kid that we hope gets, comes back pretty fast. Speaking cornerback-wise.
Yeah.
Rodarius Williams. Hope to get this guy back. We'll know more this week when I see him in camp within the next few weeks, and just to see what he could give you. Because, dude, if me and you could play corner right now, they'd be looking at us to see what the hell we could give them,
Right.
That's where we're at. Yeah. I'm sorry. That's where we're at.
It's like where it was 2 years ago when Ryan Lewis came in. We're like, all right, Ryan Lewis, let's do this. It seemed like a different person every week. I was just going to ask you about something else, and of course, I lost my train of thought.
About the brawl. Want to talk about the brawl? That was a pretty good brawl.
Real quick, before I forget, your boy Sterling. Your boy Sterling's coming along.
Shep. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Somebody told me a couple of days ago that, hey, look, they're really impressed with his progress and they think he's going to be back sooner than later. Awesome. Look, if people were wondering, I know some people are like, could he be back for week one? No, that's a stretch. Unless he really pulls Cam Akers here, but that's a stretch. The early projection of Shep, Jerry, was like middle October, Halloween.
Sure.
Now, and I've been watching him, I'm telling you, he's exploding with his first step. He's cutting well. He's doing gases. Now they're thinking maybe end of September, maybe even a September debut, Jerry, with him.
Wow.
Which would be unbelievable considering he had the injury in December, right? Yeah. So that would be pretty good. Remarkable comeback, but I don't, Jerry, I have to be honest, I don't put it past these athletes anymore the way they come back from these injuries. Watching Shep,
such an easy guy to root for too.
Yeah, watching Shep, it didn't surprise me that when somebody told me, hey, he might be back sooner than later, so that's a good sign too.
That's great stuff.
That's a good sign.
But yeah,
Aziz looks like he's gonna be back pretty soon. He'll start getting some work.
Cannot wait to see him, Chris.
You know what it is, Jerry? Out of sight, out of mind. So people, I'm sure, are looking at this Giants team and, of course, seeing Thibodeau. And, it's Jahad Waters. There's Will Shane on the other side. Folks, let's not forget who's going to be on the other side of Thibodeau come Tennessee. Oh. And that's going to be our guy Aziz Ojulari, with his 8 sacks coming in year 2, bro.
8 sacks and 10 pounds of muscle that's been added over the last year.
Yeah, so he's going to start working his way in supposedly pretty soon.
Yeah.
Gear him up, get him maybe some reps for the Jets. Hopefully he's at that point. If not, hey, see you in Nashville, in September. Right. So that's it. Everybody's looking at him as an impact guy in year 2, yes, man.
Should be. The fight. You were going to say the fight.
Yeah, just to get back. Everybody knows about that. That was a pretty good That was a pretty good one, man.
Yeah.
Look, it's been, Jerry, as you know, and everybody here in the Northeast knows, it's been probably hotter than Florida the last week or 2 weeks, whatever the hell it's been. We've all been melting on the sidelines. All right, yeah. It feels like they're practicing on the damn sun. Okay, it's been so. So what happens is, when you're seeing the same jersey over and over, combine that with 97 degree oppressive humidity. Right. Things are going to happen. So, Saquon kind of lowered his shoulder to Aaron Robinson and knocked him on his butt. As soon as that happened, I said, uh-oh, watch out now. Something's going to happen. Sure enough, Tate Crowder wings Antonio Williams to the ground after that, and they're going at it. So, look, it's going to happen. It's happening all around the league. I'm sure it's going to happen in the joint scrimmage with the Jets in a couple weeks. But it got a little crazy. Feliciano throwing a haymaker at Cam Brown. He also looked like he tried to drop kick him or knee him. Look, you can't have that as far as because you're going to get thrown out of a game. So the discipline aspect has to kick in there. You can't because in a game now, you throw a punch, you're gone.
Yeah.
And, we don't have quality offensive linemen behind these guys to get kicked out of a game. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But it was a good one. It was one of the better ones. Both benches coming over. Bobby Johnson, the offensive line coach, was looking to take Cam Brown's head off.
Right.
Cam Brown's dragging Feliciano out of the huddle. I thought Feliciano was freaking dead. I was like,
oh, that picture's hilarious.
That picture's hilarious. But when you saw it live, when I was there, I'm like, oh, shit, Feliciano's hurt. He was playing possum, you know, because he's a big clown himself, Feliciano. He likes to kid around all the time.
Yeah.
But at first, it was like, oh, my God, Feliciano, especially because he's had, you know, he's been dehydrating and he was out with those, you know, those issues. And it was like, oh, my God, did he just faint on his, you know?
Yeah.
And then you saw him get up and he's throwing haymakers. Oh, guess not. You know, he was playing possum. But that was one of the better ones. But look, Dable got them together and said, we can't, you know, we have to be smart in this. We can't have this. This is what losing teams do. Act like wild men. The rest of the practice was fine. Bobby Johnson, the offensive line coach, apologized to everybody. He apologized to Cam Brown. He said, this can't happen. I lost my cool. It'll never happen again. Trust me. Bobby Johnson's he's a fiery dude. He's running reps with them. He's got the sweatshirt on in 100-degree weather. You know, he looks like he has no problem mixing it up. If he's a very fiery guy.
Yeah.
And he likes the nastiness, and he likes to mix it up. And so it didn't really come as a total surprise to me. He was right in the middle of everything. Yeah. Because that's his personality.
Seeing Saquon run over Robinson, but I feel bad for Robinson because it almost seems like he was in a no-win situation there. Like, how hard are you going to hit Saquon, right? Then you're the bad guy. Now he's going to run you over, and you're like a, you know, tomato, as you would say. So, but that's good to hear, man. And it seems like this coaching staff has some personalities. Even last night, I saw Martindale and Dable going a little back and forth. I don't know if they were arguing, but I like that. You know, I like that. There's
They did it once in practice.
Yeah. That's the only reason I thought of it, because you said that before.
Yeah, they did it once in practice where I think it was Cam Brown rolled up, or Roche maybe, rolled up on Davis Webb.
Yes. Yeah.
On his leg.
Yep.
And, you know, and Dable didn't like it.
Yeah.
He kind of yelled over Wink, and then Wink was yelling over to him, and he went over, and they were talking, and Wink had his hands out, like, what do you want from me? We're playing football. The tank commander ain't taking no crap. You know that.
Got a lot of badasses on this staff between Johnson and Martindale.
Yeah, we got some guys who can throw him. And Martindale, the way he walks around, I'm telling you, I said this before, he looks like Patton, ready to go into battle, you know?
Yeah.
And Dable, don't let Dable fool you. He's a fiery guy too, man. You know, so he's a fiery guy. So, look, Jerry, I was talking to Julian Love about it too, man. You know, everybody's at the point now, can we see another jersey now? You know?
We're
sick and tired of going against each other. It's not, you know, can't start off with nice weather and turn into brutal heat.
Yeah.
Everybody's fed up with each other. So it was good to hit another jersey last night, I'm sure. And now we'll go back to practice this week, and then you got the Bengals next week, and the season's right around the corner. So.
Yeah, Dable made that comment last night. It's nice to see another jersey for once. So.
Yeah. That's the feeling among all the players, Jerry. And Jahad Waters, he's 140, dude. He was, you know, he came over. He was talking with us after the brawl, and he was just like, yeah, it's all love. It's team love. We all love each other. We're all laughing about it now. Only you guys think it's serious. And it's not serious. We're all, you know, it's all, I spread the love. That's what we do. We used to have them in Baltimore fights all the time. And everybody loves. Everybody's hanging out. So it's no big deal. I kind of like it. I got to be honest with you. Look, I get it. You can't throw punches. You got to have to, you know, because if you carry that over to a game, you're going to lose your center. You know,
right.
But I kind of like the chippiness. I always like the little fighting going on.
Absolutely. You know, so. Couldn't agree more. Anything else?
No. That's something else you could think about.
No, the only thing I'll say is everybody worried about Aaron Robinson. I get it. But, guys, if the pass rush can be as good as we think it can be, I think that's gonna cover over a lot of wounds that we have in the back end. So that's what I'm hoping for. Guys like Ojulari, like Chris said, coming back. Thibodeau, you know, kind of reaching his potential. And the monster camp that Lawrence and Williams are having, that's going to do a lot for the back end. So let's go easy on Robinson right now. I get the concern, but you know, we'll see where that goes. But I just think a nice pass rush is going to we didn't have you know, Pro Bowlers in 2007. I'm not comparing that pass rush to this, but I'm just saying a good pass rush is going to cover up a lot of wounds. So that's it.
Yeah, we'll have to tighten that up. So we'll see how that plays out. You know, they play Cincinnati next week without Joe Burrow, and I don't know how long they're gonna play their ones, and we'll see what happens, bro. You know, we'll see what happens. Because there's nobody on the roster, you know, that's gonna come to the rescue. You know,
right. What did that Rick Pitino say? Larry Bird, Robert Parrish, and Kevin McHale are not walking through that door.
They're not walking through that door right now. So they got to tighten some stuff up. You know.
Nice. All right. So we'll podcast probably next Friday again. Another one a week from Friday. We'll go, Chris will give another camp update. So.
Yeah, they'll be, you know, they have practice Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday. So a lot of practice getting ready for the Bengals and, you know, getting some more work in. I believe the open practices are over, or they might be the last one Sunday, Jerry. So I hope everybody, you know, who went to training camp enjoyed it, you know. I think Sunday's the last one, dude, and then it's back to normal, you know.
Yeah.
So nice. Went fast, bro. Went fast.
Yeah, right. Good stuff, man. All right, guys, to order a subscription to The Giant Insider, go to www.thegiantinsider.com and go to Magzter for a digital subscription. That's M-A-G-Z-T-E-R. All right, guys, remember, Sundays are Giant Days, baby. Take care, everyone.
Bye-bye, everybody.